Okay. All righty, folks. If you get your friend, somebody tell them, come on down, and then they won't miss this. I think they'll want it. They might not. Some people already might have gone home and said, oh, okay. I want to thank, I don't know if Julia's in here, Julia and the team from New Hope, but the food and the snacks and the way they treat us up here is amazing. Please make sure to thank them when you see them, because somebody told me Julie had been baking for 3 days this week just to get everything ready for us. Yes, Julia Butte's Tom's wife. Give her an extra hug and a kiss, Tom. You think you can manage that? I don't know. You're all over that. All right, okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. All right. Well, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we're going to cover here what keeps our fire burning. What are things we can do that will actually keep our fire burning? And I think it'll, again, really bless your heart. Father, we just thank you so much for your incredible goodness to us, for the food and the refreshment that we had today, Lord. God, thank you for all the work that went into that, all of Julia's work and the other ladies that helped her get all of that ready for our enjoyment. Thank you, Lord, for fellowship and the ability to just sit around a table and share our Savior together and share a genuine love for one another and a real interest in each other. We have this bond, Lord, of serving Jesus together, of leading your people together, and it's such a joy to fellowship. Lord, I just ask you that you'd speak to us in this last session that we have together. I pray you'd speak to our heart and speak to our soul and bring transformation as a result of our time together. Bring an encouraged heart, bring an inspired heart. Help us, Lord, to be instructed to understand what I now can go do and to become a doer of it and see our lives changed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Once again, let me say that I'm sure there's a multitude of things that we could cover here on how to keep your fire burning. And you may be surprised today that I'm not going to include something that I know you've all heard me share many times. That's part of why I did not. Obviously, for me personally, Mark Darling, the grace and love and forgiveness of God is at the top of my list. But I'm not going to go over that. Brent went over that to some degree, and I originally thought he was even going to go over it more, which is no problem that he didn't. That's just, I'm not going to go into that today. But if I'm going to give you a few series as we go through here, that if you'd like to go deeper into some of these things and into even my mind on them and how God used them, one of those series would be The Awesome Love of God. It is the most downloaded series from strongdisciple.com. That's where you'll find all these messages, strongdisciple.com. And so that would take you there. But I want to start with number one, what keeps my fire burning. And we're going to look at some scriptures that I think will make a lot of sense to you. And that number one is gratitude. Gratitude. Aggressive, daily thankfulness to God for all he has done, for all he has given to us, and all he has blessed us with. Thankfulness keeps your heart hot and soft towards God. I'd like to show you some observations. This has been a journey for me. And in the last 4 years, God has taken me even more deeply into gratitude and into the habit of aggressive, militant thankfulness. But in Romans chapter 1, you don't have to turn. I just want to read you something. It's very, very interesting. I think there's a lot of insight here, but I won't spend long on it. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves. By the way, if you come to understand these, Romans chapter 1 is Romans chapter 1 for a reason. Because it's the beginning. It's the foundation of everything else you may come to wrestle with in Romans. I believe actually Romans chapter 1 verse 18 and 19 and 20 explain an awful lot of the Calvinism and Arminian issue. But we don't have time to get into that today, but I would love to do that. But we won't. But you'll understand when we read this. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. How do the geese know to fly here or there? How do the monarchs know how to fly wherever? Because they have been pre-programmed by God. How does the wolves know to fight in packs? Because they have an instinct. God pre-put in every human being the instinctive knowledge there is a God. You can argue with the Bible. It's settled for me. He has put this knowledge in their heart. For from the time the world was created, once again, Paul echoes creation. People have seen the earth and the sky and all that God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature. So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. That's how God settles the matter before they ever hear the gospel. Every person has a chance. Every person, God put this instinctive knowledge in their heart, and they deliberately suppress it. But look here at the big issue. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or give him thanks. Ooh. Do you understand that if you read Romans 1, that all the bad, wicked things in the world flow from the lack of thankfulness to God who gave it all? Then from there, we go into all kinds of depravity, all kinds of sexual perversion, murder, greed, selfishness, God-haters, insolent, disobedient to parents, because we do not live in the acknowledgement of God and of tremendous thankfulness to God. Now, what's ironic is how dangerous the lack of aggressive thankfulness is to our soul. It's dangerous. It's not just kind of a nice thing. It's dangerous. It leaves you susceptible. You know, one of the great advances in disease in the world, for example, when my mother was little, Mark Bowen always does such a better job talking about these kind of analogies, but I'm going to try. When my mother was a little girl, polio was pretty rampant. She had a lot of friends that had the disease and were crippled for life. And then someone developed a polio inoculation or a vaccine, and it almost eradicated polio from particularly the U.S. Thankfulness, in many ways, inoculates your soul from dangerous things, but it must be done daily, it must be done aggressively, and you must really put your heart into it. And I want to show you a couple things from the scripture that I find have found for my own life very, very revealing, very powerful and profound. Now, I'm going to read Psalm 106, and Brent brought this up, and again, Brent, I think, is also a master of this, but the nation of Israel has tremendous lessons to us as believers. Tremendous warnings, tremendous things we can realize that the nation of Israel almost was like one big carnal, fleshly human being. And so sometimes they were really good, many times they were not, and they can reveal things that dwell in our own soul. We also find, as you study the Psalms or read Old Testament saints, you find common pitfalls. So we're going to start in Psalm 106, and I'm reading from the Berkeley version, and in a moment I'll skip around and you'll understand why. Hallelujah! Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness lasts forever. Who can put into words the mighty deeds of the Lord? Who can make known all of his praise? Our fathers, this is verse 14, I'm going to skip around now, I'm just going to pretend I'm making up a new chapter of my own. Our fathers did not appreciate the miracles in Egypt. Gratitude is living in the constant state of appreciation. That's another way to look at it. A constant state of thankfulness, a constant state of appreciation. They did not appreciate what God did. They did not consider, ponder, think about, meditate on the endless tokens of the loving kindness of God. Instead, they rebelled. Where does rebellion always start? Lack of gratitude. You're not watching over your heart. You're not recognizing everything you have. Look at what God has done. Look at what God has given to you. And I want to share something with you, saints. I think that, okay, don't take this wrong, because you could take this in the wrong direction. Christians stop at the cross. They just go back to the cross, the cross. And after a while you go, well, the cross. The Lord's done so much more for you than the cross. Think about the prayers that He's answered in the last year of your life. Think about the eyes that He gave you, the ears. Everything you and I take, all our senses, we take in our gifts from God, and we wouldn't enjoy anything if we didn't have those. Yes, be grateful for the cross. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you need to extend your list. The endless tokens of the loving kindness of God. About 2 months ago, I sent to my children, this is another reason I like emails, I can just write once and send it to a number of people, so hopefully they can be blessed. And I wrote to them the darling blessing list for the last year. 15 really big, specific blessings that God did for our family in this last year. Every one of them, for me, I had prayed for every one of them. Blessings. God saved my daughter's life last summer. Celeste almost bled to death in the bathroom 3 weeks after Caroline was born. Just lost about a half a gallon of blood. It was touch and go. They had her in the hospital. I'm pleading to God for my daughter's life. I'm picturing in my mind, with tears streaming down my eyes, 5 little babies and John. And how me and Mom, okay, we'll move in. God saved my daughter's life. He saved her life, brought her health back. I'm thinking about the jobs that my children desperately needed. 3 children, God miraculously provided. God came through. God bent the rules at one, where they never hire siblings, and they broke their rules and did. And I'm making this list. The endless tokens. Verse 13, but they speedily forgot His doings. Verse 21, they forgot God. You know, it's easy, isn't it, to forget the Lord? It's easy to forget the Lord. You say, how could that be? God, He's given me everything, because we don't train our mind to think that way. We let it go like the world goes. We just take everything for granted. We think we deserve everything. And we moan and we complain in our tents, and I've done the same thing. And I just decided some years ago, Lord, I'm just going after this thing. You've been so good to me, Lord. You've been so good to me. And so I really encourage believers to do this. I want to read you another passage in a moment that will highlight this. But remember what He's done for you. We forget what He's done. We forget who He is. And I want to show you Psalm 107. Psalm 107, of course, is right after Psalm 106. You know, a young lady came up to me, very dear to me here, that I married years ago, and she said, Mark, you know, you shared Proverbs chapter 1 at my wedding? And I said, yeah, I share some strange verses at weddings sometimes. I'm not your traditional guy. I've shared this passage often. I remember I shared it my father-in-law, who did not come to my own wedding, but he got remarried, my wife's father, and his new believing wife. And they asked if I would share at their wedding. And he didn't even come to mine. I thought, this is going to be real interesting. This will be fun. And so I remember jesting about that on stage. And he kind of nervously smiled, like, what is going to come out of his mouth? And I told him it's all good. I told him how much I loved him. And I did. But then I looked at him and his wife. And I said, never, ever, ever, ever forget, Doug, what brought you here today. They forgot God. Boy, it's easy, isn't it? It's easy. You know, it's like with my wife. I was praying today with the group I was praying with in tears. And one of the reasons Kathy means so much to me, this is just one of the reasons, is because I don't deserve the fact that she stayed married to me. And I know it. And I know it. I've told her more than once, you know, Kathy, I've traveled to places all over the world. And I can tell you there's a lot of beautiful women in the world. There's no woman who holds a candle to you, because I owe you my life. I owe you my life. Those first 3 years of marriage, geez, they were hell. I was just so out of control, man, with certain things, and she just took so much. And I just thank God she didn't leave me. I just thank God she kept loving me and she was patient with me. And you know, I just kept holding on that verse, don't grow weary of doing good. Mark, keep doing good in due season you'll reap. And I feel like Kathy and I often, and I'll get to this in a bit, but we have a time of prayer every single day. Many times, tears streaming down my face, I just tell the Lord in front of her, I feel like I died and went to wedding heaven. I wish I could give you details because it's kind of strange. Because here's my wife, you know, she's in the middle of menopause. She has headaches all the time. I just feel like we just died and went to marriage heaven. I'm just so incredibly grateful to God for this woman in my life and what she means to me. And this is the way I feel about the Lord. In Psalm 107, I could read the whole psalm. I'm just going to read the beginning and then I want to show you something. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Speak out. Tell others what He did. And then I want to skip to the last verse. This is what I think we fail to do. I really mean this humbly and gently. Those who are wise, you want to be wise, listen to this. You will take all of this to heart and you will see in our history the faithful love of the Lord. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you regularly reflect on the faithful love of the Lord in your personal history? You see how the Bible comes alive to me? The Bible comes alive to me in this way. I don't just sit around thinking about Israel's history. I think about mine. I think about what God did for me. I mean, I could describe to you in detail. If I had two more hours, I could describe to you in detail how I met Kathy. It's unbelievable. It's a supernatural intervention of God that we met at this vortex point at Twin Lakes Bible Camp outside Rockwell City, Iowa. We were from the same town. I had started following the Lord a few years earlier, and the first thing I knew I needed to deal with, the first thing, is I'm out with God. Well, actually, it was the first night I gave my life to Christ. When I was 19, I'd been hitchhiking around the country, and I wasn't living an upright life. And I remember I was going out with this girl at the time I was being immoral with. And I drove down that first night to her house, said, I just need to acknowledge my sin. I need to tell you that I've been using you. And I want you to know, this really isn't personal. It isn't about you. It's about me. God has not been most important in my life. I made Him that 1 hour ago. You will never see me again. Our relationship's over tonight. The next day, I went out with the Lord and I said, Lord, okay, we got to deal with this female thing. You know, we got to deal with this dating thing. I'd never heard a message on it. I understood they become a distraction to me. They become a problem. I'm like, Lord, okay, so I'm going to date. Let's just settle that right now. I need a word from you, Lord. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not along with Him freely give us all things? And I remember reading that verse, and I remember God rationalizing with me. I'm out at this woods. I'm by myself. Now, Mark, look. You say you're going to believe me for eternity, you've never seen eternity. You say you're going to believe me for heaven, you've never been there. You say you're going to believe my Son, you've never seen me. If you're going to believe all those things, then can you at least believe me for a woman? And I'm like, well, that would be hypocrisy. Yeah. So I said, Lord, okay, because I was a little kid, went to Sunday school. I said, Lord, I want you to do what you did with Adam and Eve. So I realize this could be a big distraction to my life. I want to banish it from my life. So if you ever want me married, just caught me on the head, wake me up, point her out, and say she's the one. But I ask two things. I ask that she loves you as much as I do and loves you more than she loves me. And I ask that she go anywhere for Christ. Because I plan on serving you the rest of my life. That's all I ask. Those were real strange prayer requests coming from my mouth compared to how I used to think. I began to go on my merry way, going out seeking the Lord every day after my machinist job. I'd take my New American Standard Bible that I put a leather cover on, my old army pants, my old leather fringe jacket, my long hair, my Mountain Dew, and my Maple Long John. And I go out and I devour the whole book of the Bible, Romans, Jeremiah, underline with my ruler, walk, talk to God. 1.5, almost 2 years later, I go to this little retreat. In the meantime, Kathy's down. God's working in her life. Running's her life. She's running 17 miles a day. She's anemic. She's seeing a guy that she was crazy in love with for 4 years, came to the conclusion, running's my God, Shane is my God, they need to both be out of my life. She saw a little poster about this Bible study at ISU campus. She said, that's what I'm missing, I need fellowship. She never grew up in the church. She got saved when she was 15, but never went to church, didn't know anything about it. She starts to go. She's really sick the weekend of this conference, but she said to the Lord in her simple, if you know my wife, simple, humble, pure prayer, Lord, if you want me to go, I'm sick, but I'll go. If you put money, I need money. Someone slipped $50 under her door. Meantime, back up in Webster City, 60 miles away, a friend tells me about this conference. I want to go hear the Word of God taught. We show up. It's raining down. We meet under this stand, this popcorn stand, and we start to talk about our testimonies. If I told you the rest of the story, it's just unbelievable. But I knew that night when I drove home, this is the woman God wants me to marry. So I began to pray seriously about it. I began to fast a little bit about it. God has done so many things for me in my life. But you know what? I'm a human being and I can be as forgetful as anybody else. I am not going to forget. You know why they built the Holocaust Museum? So they would not forget. I am not going to forget. I have made a decision of my will and of my mind. I nurture the memory of our love. I nurture these wonderful treasured moments. I nurture what God has done. And I look back in my life and I see the loving kindness of God in Mark's history, in Kathy's history. Yes, of course, I see it in Israel and I see it in Paul and I see it in Elijah and I see it in Moses. And I study those people and they give me hope about the real God that's also in my life. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. It's totally up to you. I have a book. I need to bring it up, actually. Could you bring me my book, my bag back there? Jacob or Dave, it's back there, that bag. Yeah, there's a book in there. Anyway, I have two leather-bound books. I just like leather. I don't sleep in leather, by the way. I know some have wondered that. But I do wear it frequently. And thank you very much. And I have these books. I'm not really a writer. Writing's never been easy for me. This is my thought book. I call it my thought book. It has in it my songs, 34 songs the Lord's given to me. It has in it little sayings the Lord has given to me. It has in it God's stories. Because I know that one day I'll be older and I'm going to forget. And so I write these little paragraphs. They're not lengthy, little paragraphs. God of the woman for Jeremy, God of the man for Celeste, my son-in-law over there. The wonderful, incredible way God brought him about. You remember, Julie, how God brought Dave. Remember our conversation? Encouraged you to wait till you're about 30. Dave wasn't even coming to church, and God brought this wonderful man. I just got a letter from Julie the other day thanking me for that little word of encouragement that she waited for this incredible man in her life. That's a God story. I have lots of those God stories. I have a second leather book at home that I've started. This one's basically full. I call it my blessing book. Someday when I die, it'll go to my kids. I don't want them to forget the loving kindness of God in Dad's life, in Mom's life. God has been so good to me. So I've sought, even though I also have kept a record, well, I only kept a record. In my mind, I have a record with Jessica's illness for that 7 years. I kept a record because I knew I would never believe all the things that happened during that time. I still can't when I read it sometimes. It'll still bring me to tears. All that happened in that period of time. And yet, I also kept a record of the faithfulness of God during that period of time. I kept a record of every gift that was given, and who it was from. Your name is in my book. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't marshal my spirit and I don't get along with God and I begin to thank Him for a number of things. Ordinary things like Brent shared, I really do. I've been to Honduras. I've been to my friend's million-dollar home in Honduras. He's a very wealthy businessman, loves Jesus Christ, gives away millions. I've been in his marble shower, and you turn it on, and it barely comes out. Barely enough pressure to get the shampoo out of my hair. I can't get any of the water in my mouth, and I did once, and I got sicker than I've ever been for 3 weeks on my back, grabbing my belly with strange things coming out of my body. You better believe I thank God for fresh water. and for hot water, and I got my little $3.75 Navy shower head. Blast that baby on me, and I'm like, wow, Lord, thank you for this shower. I never had a ceiling fan when I was a kid. I never had central air when I was a kid. Thank you, God, for central air. Thank you, God, just a click of a button, we can get warm. Yes, thank you, God, for my 5-speed Honda is paid for, and I get about 30 miles a gallon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for providing this Toyota Senna. I always kind of dreamed of having one, and I found it, and the guy just put a tiny bit of water pump valve cover gaskets, and that was about $1,700 worth of work, and I got it for $5,400. Thank you, Lord, because I'll drive it for 10 years. I know about cars. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I know some people don't like it, but I get to wear jeans and leather jacket for my job. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for making me a man, Lord. Thank you, I still got hair, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I can cut my own hair every 7 days with professional clippers and save myself $15 every time. Thank you, Lord. Those are the ordinary things. I thank Him for them. I really do. I thank the Lord for my woman every day and many things about her that I won't tell you. And I thank Him. And I thank Him for the big things that He's done in my life. And there's small things. I thank God and I go after it. And I go after it because I know that if I don't, my heart will start to get hard. And let me just be really honest. You know what actually happens? We get bored with God. Doesn't it just send almost chills? Like, we really do. We get bored with God. Oh, no. God, what's so great about God? What isn't so great about God? I want to encourage you to go after this. It's totally up to you. Some of you, this would be a great divine use of your smartphone. Take that little baby and carry it with you electronically and go to your Google Doc or whatever thing you want to call it, or your little blessing app. Who wants to come up with a blessing app? You can make some money among the Christians. We'll sell it at Lifeway Christian Book. And it's a blessing app, and it'll just prompt you every day. Ding! What's your blessing? And, you know, you just write it down. And I'd encourage you to begin collecting a list. Begin. Just start today. And then, you know, sometimes what I do when I'm on an airplane is I go back in time. I'll carry one of them with me and I'll go back in time and I'll just write some that I haven't recorded yet that I want to make sure I remembered. I try to date them. Number two. I could spend all day on the first one, but we won't. Number two. This is incredibly important. Remember your vision. And stay connected to your purpose. I'd like to show you something in Colossians 1. I'd like to show you something about the Apostle Paul. In Acts 26:19, I'm just going to quote it for the sake of time. Paul says this, O King Agrippa, I have not been disobedient to my heavenly vision. When Paul said that to Agrippa, it was in the later years of his life. When he was carted off to Rome, when he was then eventually in prison, and then eventually he died. I have not been disobedient. Why? Because I didn't forget my heavenly vision. I didn't forget what you called me to, Lord. I didn't get the purpose for which you gave me. And so for me personally, there's some passages that have really spoken to me over the years, and I want to show you a few of them so you understand for me what God has done, how I think, and if it can be help, it can be. Maybe God will do something different for you. Colossians 1 verse 6, this same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is changing lives everywhere, just as it changed yours the very first day you heard and understood the truth about God's great kindness. I get up every day, this is the truth, I get up every day yearning to change somebody's life. There is nothing more powerful than truth understood and applied. This is not just about the gospel. Yes, it's a passion for the gospel. The gospel is one aspect of the truth of God, but the Bible has all kinds of other wonderful truths. Truth changes lives, and I want to change lives. And it drives me. It drives me. It drives me. And I'll show you other ways in a moment that it drives me. It urges me on. This also urges me on. In my little Berkeley New Testament, I want to read this to you, this passage. It's very similar. It's very similar purpose. Same book, said a slightly different way. This is Colossians in chapter 1. Christ we proclaim, and we warn every person and instruct them in all wisdom, what, the wisdom of God, so that we might present every person fully mature and grown up in Christ. And for this I toil, wrestling according to his energy, which is powerfully at work within me. For this I work. This purpose I work. This is my passion. My passion is to change the lives of others, and I specifically have been focusing my life in these last 15 years on young people. My passion is to reveal to them the multifaceted wisdom of God and to present them mature in their life in Christ. That's the purpose of the Strong Disciple website, that they might grow and be mature and equipped and inspired and instructed and advised and enlightened and motivated. Caring for others, another verse been burned in my mind. Caring for others is the measure of your greatness. That's the Living Bible's translation of one of the passages where Jesus said the servant of all is the greatest of all. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I do not mean I'm perfect in it, but I sincerely mean this drives me. I am passionate about serving others. Any opportunity, I try to take on as much possible responsibility as I can, nationally, regionally, and locally. I keep the same schedule 7 days a week. I arise now in these last 5 years about 3 every morning. I go to bed earlier than most people, except on Friday and sometimes when I have an evening meeting. My passion is to serve. My passion is to bless. My passion is to build up and see people's lives changed with the Word of God. However I can do it, I've not forgotten my heavenly vision. Let me show you this passage in Timothy. That 2 Timothy, that I frequently read, frequently inspires me just thinking about it. So I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus. By the way, very few passages ever start this way. There might be one other time. I charge you, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be persistent, whether the time is convenient or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to the right teaching. They will follow their own desire and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear. They will reject the truth and follow strange myths. Remember what Paul said night and day. I did not cease warning you with all humility and with tears. For 3 years, I cease warning you with all humility and with tears. I know to some people I just seem like a broken record on this topic or that topic. They drive me. They urge me on. This is what God has called me to. Now, some of you maybe have other spiritual gifts, and your calling is going to be in line sometimes with those spiritual gifts. But I tell you, all of us, God has called us to serve. And it's my passion. My passion to serve my wife. My passion to serve my children. My passion to serve my church. My passion to serve others. How can I serve? Someone once wrote to me, I won't be able to find it in my book, I have written this saying about it, but they said, Mark, how do you keep track of all the different hats you wear? And I said, that's easy, I only wear one hat. They looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, I wear the servant hat. Roles only define the different type of service needed. So I have the husband serving, I have the provider servant, I have the father servant, I have the pastor servant. But I only have one hat. It's a servant. And I love it. And it's my passion. And it drives me on because I know when I serve the body of Christ, I'm serving Christ. You are his body. You are his body. And so whatever I can do, I try to do it. I try to say yes to as much as I can. I get emails from people around the country. I try to respond to their need. I get emails locally. I try to respond to their need. I get just your ordinary average individual. Can we sit down and talk? I try to do it. Mark, can you come do this conference? I try to do it. In the last 27 years I've been here, I just did my 175th conference. I would have rather had even more. But during that period, Jessica was ill. I had to maintain my priority of helping take care of her and Kathy while I kept the other balls in the air. Serving others, serving Christ. Man, it's my passion. This is what we're made for. And God uses you to change the lives of others. Did you know that? He works through your life. Of course, to Him be the glory. But He worked. Did you know, Paul? If I can find this. Paul says, if I catch this, I saw it earlier in Romans. It might be Romans, just a minute, last chapter, maybe. Just so you know that I'm not making this up. So, it is right for me to be enthusiastic about all Christ has done through me in my service to God. I dare not boast of anything else. For I have brought Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I live before them. So I get enthusiastic about what God has done through my life. I want to do a lot more. We only get this one life. And so vision, my life vision, and I have one. Each of you are going to have one. Of course, there's the general will of God for all of us, and that urges me on. But I know specifically what God has urged me on. Paul told Timothy, and this has been my mindset, throw yourself into your task. I love the Living Bible. Throw yourself into your task. And so, to the best of my ability, with reckless abandon, I just throw myself into my task, knowing that my first task is being a man of God in private. It's walking with God, knowing God, loving God, being vigorous with God. That's first. And then we go from there. And that leads me to number three. Number three, keeping your spiritual fire burning. We've talked so far about gratitude, aggressive thankfulness, remembering what God has done for you in your life, Christ, what He's provided, what He's given, His answers to prayer, His presence in your life, His faithfulness, His character, the blessings that you're keeping track of, you're going over them, you're regularly seeing the wise person considers the loving kindness of God in their history. You connect with your vision. You stay connected to your purpose. What am I alive for? What am I doing? Some of us, maybe we haven't quite got that yet. We haven't realized that. Sit down and talk with someone. You ever want someone to talk to? We can talk. Or talk to your pastor. I need to get a handle on this. The third is prayer. Passionately seek the Lord and make it a daily habit and a routine, or your fires will not burn hot. Prayer is everything. I really mean this. Prayer is everything. Psalm 116, I'm just going to quote these. Psalm 116, 1 and 2, New Living Bible. I love the Lord. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and bends down to listen. Therefore, I will pray to Him as long as I have breath. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourself to prayer. Keep persevering in it. Be diligent in it. Be watchful and alert. And then you skip down to verse 12. I vouch for Epaphras how he is wrestling in prayer, earnestly praying. Boy, you see when Paul says, I wrestle according to his power. One version says, I wrestle to the point of exhaustion. Man, I want to go after this thing. I'm going to get tired in it. And then I'll wake up, God have to give me more strength. Are you a God wrestler? Some of you know I shared this message a few years ago, and unfortunately I cannot find it in our library, and it's killing me, it's torturing me. I have to give that to God. But it was called Prayer, Our Greatest Privilege, and then we talked about being a God wrestler. Epaphras was a God wrestler, Paul was a God wrestler. Every time you read his epistles, he's praying. Now, I'm going to say a few things here I'd only like you to think about. You may or may not agree with this. I'll get to that in a minute. But I want to read you something. All right? So this is in my little book here. Maybe one day if people actually want some of it, I'll have a friend type it on the computer and then it'll be a file. So I wrote this a number of years ago and it's entitled, Why I Need Prayer to Live. This is not an exaggeration for me, and I'm going to try to make that clear to you so you don't think, geez, Mark, you know, he's just some sainted whatever. I'm just telling you, I personally need prayer to survive. So I'm going to read you the things I wrote. Why I need prayer to live. Prayer is my direct, instant access to God. Prayer is access to unlimited resources. Prayer engages God in my life. Prayer connects me intimately and emotionally with God. Prayer maintains and strengthens my sanity. Prayer detoxifies my spirit. Prayer is how I trust God. Prayer is how I change things. Prayer is how I get what I need. Prayer gives me the edge over any obstacle. Prayer keeps me civilized and my flesh in check. Prayer lets me help and influence others no matter how far away from me they may be. Prayer keeps me from helplessness. Prayer always gives me hope. Prayer gives me power. Prayer gives me insight. Prayer is my weapon. Prayer is my place of refuge and comfort. Prayer is how I crush despair. And I have been despairing many times in my life. Prayer is how I unload my burdened heart. Prayer is my supply line. Prayer opens locked doors. Prayer brings me that which I seek. Prayer makes me strong against temptation. Prayer keeps my heart soft. Prayer brings me joy and peace. Prayer is my place of renewal and rejuvenation. Prayer changes me. Prayer is my cathedral of worship and praise. Prayer keeps stress and worry from destroying my life. Prayer lets me touch God. Prayer is my great survival tool. Prayer keeps my fire burning hot. Without prayer, I simply could not survive or live. For Mark Darling, that's the truth. When Jessica was ill, I do not even begin to fathom how I would have even sustained what I did, imperfect though it was, without praying. Every day for many, many years, I go on an hour prayer walk. I pray an average an hour and 20 minutes a day. The other 20 minutes is with my wife. If I could tell you one great regret I have in my life and my marriage. Men, I'm going to tell you a little secret about turning your wife on long term. Pray with her. I greatly regret that easily for the first 10 years, I did not pray with her. She wanted me to. I just thought it was weird. I'm just being really honest. I just thought it was weird. It felt weird. She always wanted me to pray. You pray. I'm praying. I'm praying on my own. I was praying. Don't get me wrong. I was praying myself. But I didn't pray with her. Not often. I mean, you know, it was very, very infrequent. For many, 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 many years. I started with just a couple minutes. This is one of my secrets to prayer. I'm going to teach you how to succeed at this. So I was a very young Christian. I realized that prayer, as I read about the men of God, I read lots of biographies. I read Power Through Prayer with E.M. Bounds. A lot of people think, boy, you know, Mark, he's just very gifted. And maybe I am, maybe I'm not. I know I have gifts and I'm trying to use them. But I'm going to tell you the real secret source of my power is prayer. It's prayer. It's prayer. Out loud prayer. Verbal prayer. Vigorous prayer. I pray often like you hear me teach. And the reason I walk is to get blood flow going, and because I don't want to use extra time to do a workout, an aerobic one, on top of praying, and I want to make sure prayers stay prioritized, so I just combine them. These shoes right here, I've had 3 years. I've resold twice. Because I pray in them. What I'm wearing, I pray in. And when it's too cold, I go to my garage. And when it's super cold, then I do the elliptical downstairs for 30 minutes. Then I go to the garage, bundled up with my earmuffs. Yes, I will wear earmuffs. Even a hood once in a while. And I pray. My prayer walk now has been 27,000 miles, around the planet plus 1,000 miles. I started with 10 minutes. I was a young man and I knew, God, I need to pray. I got myself a watch. I've been wearing a watch with a timer for almost all this time since they first came out with them. And I remember going out and I'm walking and I'm praying. And I'm realizing if you read the Old Testament, they were praying out loud. David was praying out loud. He was crying to God, shouting to God. He dumped his soul on God. I can tell you right now, I wouldn't. I remember one time Brent and I, the board of trustees, it was just Brent and I at the time, the board of trustees decided to get us disability insurance. And I'm like, disability insurance? For what? You know, I trip and bite my tongue off and I can't speak anymore. That would be bad. So we were joking around and then the insurance agent came in the room and we were kind of chuckling. He goes, what's so funny? So I told him the story. One of those times I stuck my foot in my mouth and he's not laughing and he goes, well, you know, this is really a serious matter. I said, oh, okay. Because, you know, he obviously knew some things I didn't. So I was young. This was about, I don't know, about 5 to 8 years into pastoring, it seemed like. He said, you know the number one disability for pastors? I said, I can't even imagine. No, I don't. He goes, they go mental. And I remember Brent and I, we were young men. You know, we're within 2 months of each other. And we looked at each other like, what? I remember just thinking, what? And I didn't say it like that because I was trying to be cool and mature. And I wanted to say, like, are you out of your mind? He goes, no, they have a nervous breakdown. The strains of ministry break them down. Yeah, about 3 years later, when some things happened that I never anticipated were the most painful in my life, I realized how important dumping on God was in detoxifying my soul. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not ashamed to tell you this. If it was not for my prayer life, I would have broken down. I would have broken down. I couldn't do this. I couldn't have taken care of Jessica. I couldn't deal with what I had to watch every day. But God just decided I couldn't do it. It killed me. It would have just killed me. I don't know what it might have drove me to, but I can just tell you, I would have broke down. Now I'm going to share something very personal with you. And again, you may have a different perspective, but would you just think about it? A vigorous daily habit of prayer is far better than binge praying once every 4 months when you go on a day alone with God. You want to keep going on a day alone with God? Go for it. Go for it. But please stop binge praying and start praying every day. And please build a habit of it. And please get it into your life because it's biblical. And it will change your life. It will transform your life. It will keep your fires going. You're asking God for things. Do you understand what prayer communicates to God? Do you understand that prayer is faith in action? Do you understand that a prayerless life is a faithless life? And without faith, you cannot please God? Do you understand that prayer, then it denotes to God, you really believe you need me. I really need God. My children, this has been interesting. You know, marriage, I'm so grateful for marriage, but marriage is a challenge, man. It'll challenge your flesh in every way you can imagine. I pray more often and vigorously for my children now than I prayed for them when they were home. Praying for their marriage and their unity and their communication and their intimacy, and they wouldn't grow hard towards God and they'd stay soft. And often I'm sitting by Kathy and I double that up, and that's usually 20 minutes. Besides other people we pray for, tears sometimes streaming down my eyes. And I lead Kathy in thankfulness. And I want to tell you, Kathy, she has told me so many times, and she's not a very verbal person, so to say, often with tears, Mark, you have no idea the strength I get from your prayers. You have no idea how attractive this makes you to me. You have no idea how it encourages my soul to hear you lead me. And when we pray, and I'm not saying you have to do this, but I'm just telling you guys, this is our reality. She never prays. I pray. I do all the praying. She just joins me, and I take her by the hand, and I lead her through all the needs and the thankfulness. And if she has anything else she wants to add, she'll interrupt and she'll add, and I'll go, yep, Lord, and Lord, we just bring that to you right now. And I lead that woman in prayer. I lead that girl to God. And I deeply regret that I didn't start it from the day we were married. You start with 3 minutes. Start with 3 minutes. My goodness, make a little list if you need a list. Make a little thing. Pray for your children. Pray for your marriage. Pray for your intimacy. Pray for your life. Pray for your creation. Pray for your heart to be soft towards God. And right in front of her, start thanking God for that woman. It'll just blow her mind that you're there in the presence of God. Lord, thank you for this woman. I don't deserve this woman. Thank you for her personality, Lord. Thank you for her beautiful smile and those beautiful eyes. And that beautiful thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord. I do that sometimes too. Because I really am crazy about her. I keep myself in a crazed state. I do. I work at it. Saints, listen to me. I cannot even begin to emphasize in this small amount of time how important praying is. Let's just decide between you and God, no more excuses. I'm climbing the mountain. I want to know God. I want God to be real in my life, and I am going to begin with a simple, go out in your garage if you need to. If you don't feel safe, moms, I realize that moms with small children, they can't necessarily go out and do a prayer walk. When you're up in the middle of the night nursing, pray. That's what my wife used to do. Just pray. Pray. She isn't as coarse, as loud as I get. I'm the loud one. Pray. Husbands, maybe you can take the kids once in a while and let her go out. Just go for a while, honey. Go get some coffee. Go pray. Or, you know, when the kids are taking a nap, pray. Walk around the house and pray. Pray over those babies. Pray over their education. Pray over their heart. Pray. What do you want? You have not because you ask not. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Maybe the real issue is we really doubt. Maybe you've lost hope that God's really going to come through. I've been there too. I understand that. And I just decided I'm going to pray through it. That's what I'm going to do. And I just tell it to God. Sometimes I tell God, I couldn't say what I say to God here. It would kind of freak you out. I realized a long time ago, men, that my wife cannot handle the emotional Mark Garland. She just can't. She just can't. I'm actually way too much for anybody. But God can handle me. You have no idea how much that means to me. I would like you to listen to three messages, if you would. It's totally up to you. First series is called The Passionate Life. The study of the life of Paul and the driving passions of his life, why he was passionate, where it came from. When I think of passion, he always comes to my mind first. I'd like you to hear why I need prayer to live. It's up to you. Totally up to you. And the last one is my best friend, God. And I want to talk with you about that in just a moment. The last two I have to cover really quickly. Number four, remember the joys and rewards that come from following God's truth. It is incredible. Read Psalm 19. Please read Psalm 19 later, but I want to tell you something. I've been following the Lord now, as I said, almost 40 years. And this May, I'll be married 35 years, May 5th. I am almost daily overwhelmed in some ways, sometimes by just emotion, my tears, by the incredible life God has given me because I chose to follow His Word. The Word of God means a great deal to me, personally. Even if I never taught it, it means the world to me. What God has shown me about love, about sex, about my intimacy with my wife, about communication, about money, about Himself, means a tremendous deal to me. It is my treasure. And Psalm 119 talks about the joy of God's Word. And then in keeping it, there's great reward. And I am living today, if Galatians is true at all, that you cannot ignore God and get away with it. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. Don't grow weary of sowing, for in due season you'll reap a good harvest. I can tell you that today, honestly, in my marriage and in my life, there's a lot of wonderful reaping going on from years of sowing. And I'm trusting God that there's going to be more reaping down the road, and I just keep sowing. The rewards of this book are phenomenal. They're phenomenal. What I enjoy as a father, I know this is hard. I know some of you have hard situations, and many of you in this room, I pray for them. What I enjoy as a dad, and what I enjoy now I'm starting to see as a granddad, I owe all to God's mercy and to His Word. To His Word. The last thing I want to share with you, and this is why I suggested the book, the message, the recording, I should call it, My Best Friend God. Number five, this keeps my fire burning, the joy of God's friendship. What a friend we have in God. I'd like to read two passages and then we're going to close. Okay, the first is in Luke chapter 12. And I'd like to show you something. you know, I find it interesting that we live in a time of Facebook. And I want to just, I don't want you to feel bad. You have a Facebook. I secretly surf Facebook using a secret passcode that no one knows about. And so I'm what you call a Facebook stalker. So I know things about your life that you wouldn't know that I know. And sometimes what I find out causes me to pray even more. This is Luke chapter 12. Verse 13. Someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's money with me." That's a reasonable request. Let's divide it. Come on, he's our dad. Both our dad. Friend, who made me such a judge to decide such things over you? Then he said, beware. Don't be greedy for what you don't have. Real life is not measured by how much you own. Okay, so the question ought to pop to our mind is, so what is it measured by? So what is real life? And I'm going to show you. And he gave them this illustration. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. In fact, his barns were full to overflowing. So he said, I know, I'll tear down the barns, build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store everything. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough, my friend. He's calling himself his friend. Did you ever notice that? My friend, me, myself, and I. Because that's all I got. My friend, you have enough stored away for many years now. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said, you fool, tonight you're going to die. But then he says this, yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. So right now what I want to ask you is not how much you've saved up. I don't care. I want to ask you, would you honestly say, I have a rich relationship with God? Is God your best friend? Or do you know more about your Facebook friends than you know about God? And does God, in a sense, if you had to tell God things about you so he knew, can I just be honest? Most of your Facebook friends know more about you than the personal things you ever unload on God. Now you think, oh, my safety valve is God knows everything. He knows it all anyway. No, that don't help you. That don't help get it off your chest. That ain't casting your burdens on the Lord. That ain't pulling down your pants and exposing what you need to talk to God about. That comes from your mouth. And the only way you're going to experience the reward of it, the blessing of it, the joy of it, the strength of it, is to get it out. And I would say, honestly, that many Christians, and it may not be anyone in this room, spend more time reading their Facebook friend stuff, writing things on their Facebook, with their Facebook friends, their Twitter world, their tweeting world, their texting world. And again, there's business purposes for those, and I understand that. Then they have this rich relationship with God. And then I want to show you this verse in Romans, because I love this verse. But again, you'll hear this on My Best Friend God. This is Romans chapter 5 and verse 11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new friendship with God, all because of what the Lord Jesus has done for making us friends of God. Now, I honestly say to you, there's no better friend in my life than God. Kathy's next. Humanly, she's best friend of God. But God, that's way more. He knows it all. We talk. I talk to him in ways I do not talk to Kathy. God is my best friend. God is my sustainer. I love the song and rewrote the song on my own guitar, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we won't carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble everywhere? We can never be overwhelmed by discouragement if we take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield you. You will find much comfort there. Jesus knows my every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, it's everything to me. I really mean this. It's not an exaggeration. Does he need to be more? He needs to be more. But I'm telling you, don't miss out on the joy of God's friendship. Don't miss out because you're busy with the game, or you're busy with this, or you were distracted with that, or your lawn and everything you've decided to do with it takes so much time that he gets crowded out. Did you know? This is not a marked exaggeration. This is the truth. In a study done of 40,000 Christians, it was completed about 4 years ago, 40,000 believers. That means, any of you understand math or statistics, there's no margin for error here at all. You never do a study this large of people who claim to be not just Christians, Christ followers, age 13 to 80. Almost 70% of them never read their Bible and say they don't have time to do it. That's why we have a problem in America. Because, as Brent was sharing, everything else is the idol in our life. Everything else, let me put it another way, is our companion. We're more of a companion with our smartphone. We're more comfortable with a smartphone than with God. We're more comfortable expressing myself there than talking to God with the voice He gave me. That ought to hit us a little bit. I don't want you to throw it away and not use it. I just want you to think honestly, wow, Lord. Wow, I want you to be, I want to know you, man. And I hope you understand, I'm not trying to motivate you at all from guilt. God is just the most incredible thing in the world. Just to have Him listen, to know He bends down to listen, to know He'll meet you there. I can't even tell you how many times. I know this will be a little controversial. And I know Brent, he's talked about this before, actually. And we'd love to do it again. God speaks to us. You're telling me that the Holy Spirit of God, all of God lives in you and He don't talk to you? Well, then you're missing out. We better clean off your receptors. Because I can't tell you how many times God, not in a wall, not a voice shouting from heaven, inside my life, lives in me, has spoken to me in prayer as I've prayed and brought messages to me, brought needs to me, brought thoughts to me, brought ideas to me, brought faith walkers to me, brought all these different things while I was praying. And God just, He touches our heart, because when we're in prayer and as we get all the crust off and we keep those calluses gone, wow, it becomes sensitive and He can speak to our soul and He works. He works. Intercessory prayer, that's another big part of what my prayer life is. That's how an hour gets taken up. There's a lot of needs. There's a lot of people I'm praying for, a lot of desperate situations. Okay. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for your attentiveness. And I pray that you just go out, just get started. Just start small, okay? Just start small with some of these practices. Just get started. And remember, you're going to go, your goal is fitness for life 40 years down the road. Your goal is prayer for life. Your goal is just build. Start small with what you know you can succeed with. That's what I did. For I was telling someone earlier, so for a month, I prayed for 10 minutes every day. If you're going to walk out of here, some of you are going to go, I'm going to pray for an hour. No, do it. Because it'll last about 3 days. You're not practiced in this. Learn to express yourself to God and write down a little list and then time it. Then in that month, I added 5 more minutes. I went to 15. I know I always built on success. The devil will try to crush you when you fail and he'll make you go, oh, look at you. You're a Christian. You say you're motivated. You can't do nothing. And then you get discouraged. And then eventually I moved it to 30. And then eventually I knew, because I combined it with the fact that you need to take 10,000 steps a day, and that's about 3 miles. That takes an hour for me. Actually, I do about 3.5 miles, but I don't count the other half. And so I'm going an hour. So I added more things and I added more intercession to my life and et cetera, et cetera. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had together today. Thank you for the power of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your friendship. My goodness, Lord, what a joy it is to know you. What a joy it is to have access to you. We think, you know, there's people whose goal is to give everyone in the world access to the internet, as if, oh my gosh, that would change the world. Of course, you know, I understand why some people think that. It has linked up people and cultures and communities. Oh God, what a tragedy that all of us have instant access to God. And there's many people who can't live without their cell phone. Studies have showed that. They get the shakes. But our access to God, it doesn't give us the shakes. When we miss access to God, when we miss conversation with God, it's sort of natural. It's sort of natural to us. Change that, Lord. Change that. Help us, Lord. Help us realize sometimes when we're driving on the highway, just turn off the radio and pray. Everybody thinks you're talking on a cell phone anyway. It's beautiful. They don't think you're dumb. They just think you're talking on your cell phone. Do a hidden little Bluetooth on the other side of your ear. Help us, Lord. Oh God, there's so much wonderful things that you want to give, that you want to do. We just seek the living God. In Jesus' name, amen. So at fellowship, there's probably still some food down there, I bet, that they'd like you to have, and you're welcome to it. God bless all of you.